talking brand new. He's talking being made completely new. He's talking being born again completely. The Spirit just doesn't deliver from sin. The Spirit condemns sin in the flesh. And sometimes we think that the Spirit is there to help us to live a better life. We have the law which condemns us, and we can't keep the law. There's a problem with the law. The law does nothing for us except condemn us. And sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit's job is to help us keep the law better. And I'm here to tell you, Paul is saying, no. It can't be done. The law cannot deliver from sin, even with the help of the Spirit. The law cannot. Those verses in chapter 7 explain that not even the converted believer finds life in law keeping. After he comes to Jesus, after the law does its work, he shall another law at work if he tries to find life by law keeping. Isn't that what Paul said? I know the law is good, but Paul, the converted believer, Paul, the one who knows Jesus, Paul, who has the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, I find another law at work. I don't find a life in law keeping. No believer does. So the problem then is that troublesome nasty law, right? No. The problem is not the law. The problem is what? The problem is the flesh. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. The problem is not the law, the problem is the flesh. See, the law alone is not weak. The law alone is perfect. It's God's law. It's perfection. What makes the law weak is what? It's us. It's the flesh. This is what Israel had done to the law. Israel is still trying to take the law and make themselves stronger with it. And that's not what the law is designed to do. And all of us at one time tried to use the law for something it was not designed to do. A lot of us have taken the train of our sanctified life and we pitched it to a locomotive that cannot be necessary. It has not the power. If we're trying to find life, if we're trying to please God by becoming better at keeping the law, then we're condemned to suffering. It doesn't work. So what did God do? God did the only thing that he could do. He didn't, notice this, he didn't kill us. If you believe that, could have been one solution, right? All I have to do, if the problem is not with the law, the problem is with the flesh, then when I show up the next day, all I need to do is kill Adam and Eve. Get rid of the flesh, and there is no longer any problem with the law. He could have done that, didn't he? Matter of fact, he could have done it and still been just. Because he told them on the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. But they didn't, did they? Why? Because God had another solution. See, his solutions have to include life. He is the life giver. Death is not a solution to God. Death is not an option when it comes to you and me. Now, doesn't mean that some of his children are not going to choose death. But he went out of his way. He did everything that he could to make sure that death wasn't the only option, that there were options, and that life was always an option. So instead of killing Adam and Eve, which would have eliminated the problem with the law, because he eliminates the flesh, instead of killing them, he gave something else. He gave another solution. What I'll do is I'll send my son, and I will condemn sin in the flesh. So he takes on flesh and condemns it in the flesh. Also, Adam and Eve, and you and me, didn't have to die because of our weak flesh. So God solves the problem. It's solved as it is. It's solved even better than if he had just eliminated sinful flesh or weak flesh, if you will. die to death and make sure you're dead to it. Somebody comes to your door and knocks on your door, if you're dead, they're out of luck.
One who's never sinned is not condemned. Okay, so what? It would have done nothing?
divided in these. For this reason, the mind is set on the flesh to talk about God and does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So he's describing chapter 7 again, isn't he? Okay? Where you set your mind and where the different law is at work in the flesh. Now we need to be careful about what we think this is. It sounds like true believers then need to get better at not sinning by not serving the flesh. It sounds like true believers then need to get better to set our minds on becoming more righteous. That's what it sounds like to say, doesn't it? That's what it sounds like to say. And that's what happens to us when we skip over verse 1 of chapter 8. That's what happens when we get here. Is now all of a sudden it sounds like, okay, well now the Spirit is going to help you out, and it's going to help your flesh become better at keeping the law. It's going to help your flesh become more righteous. And oh, by the way, it's very important that you do so, because if you don't, you can't run. You can't please God. We have to be very careful, because that isn't what it's saying at all. Is it? Is that what it's saying? That we just have to get better at it. That we need to set our mind on it. If we don't set our mind on it, that we won't be able to please God. Is that really what it's saying? No, because it says this. But you are what? You're not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. See, the Holy Spirit is the link, but the key is Jesus. The Spirit doesn't operate in that side of Jesus. The Spirit doesn't operate in you in order for you to become more like Jesus. The Spirit is in you that you are in Christ. And if the Spirit exists in Jesus, you can count on Him existing in you. The Spirit is life. And He says, but you're not in the flesh. Listen to the language. It's simple. It sounds like those verses are saying, you know, like, okay, we just need to get better at setting our minds on the Spirit and living in the Spirit and not so much in living in the flesh. We just need to get better at it. But the language is simple. It says, no, you're not in the flesh. Could we argue with it? Our reality can argue with it at times, can it? Because there are times that we are. Paul said there are times every day when we meet. That's the reality of living in the flesh. But there is this other reality. And the other reality is, if you're in Christ, the reality is that you are not in the flesh. You need to fight with the reality of the flesh. But, look what happened. But what do you believe? You have Jesus. If you have the Son, you have what? Period. You have to look back at verses 3 and 4. He condemned sin in the flesh. It's done. It's been done. It's been done. The law needs to be fulfilled in us. It's done. The law eternal life. To eternal life. Now, I can argue with you. Wait, hold on. Okay? This is not going to last forever. It may not get through next week. It may not get through tomorrow. Paul said, but John said, no. Jesus said, it's yours. Eternal life is yours. When? Now. Where am I at? I didn't know where I'm at. So it's the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also to the spirit which dwells in you. It gives life to our mortal bodies. As sure as Jesus was resurrected, we will be given life to. For a believer, life is now. It might be in these mortal bodies, but it's the spirit that gives us life. And we're to remember that even though we're walking in these bodies of flesh, thanks to the spirit, we're walking in Christ, in the goodness of Christ. Every day, every moment, reality is reality. Now I know it's crazy. I know there are things that this bothers me. Okay? I know that there are some things that bother them. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't believe, it doesn't mean that our choice is not taken away from us. It doesn't mean that condemnation is not possible. Righteousness by faith is not once saved, always saved. However, just because it's not once saved, always saved, doesn't mean we can't be assured of life eternal right now. So I can fail. I can get in the middle of that discourse that Paul was giving, you know, where I know what I want to do is right, and I go to do it, and I don't do it. I do the very thing I don't want to do. I've got a choice right there, don't I? I can go find condemnation if I want to. I can get up from Jesus, and I can go find condemnation if I want to. Or I can believe that I already know my condemnation to Jesus, and I can come to Him and I can find forgiveness for whatever that was, no matter what that was, whatever it was. His perfection reckoned in my account. I can find complete righteousness in the Father's eyes if I simply want to, if I would come to Him. So he goes on to point it out every day. This is what we are. We, brothers and sisters, we're dead not to the flesh, but the glory of the flesh. For it's his glory of the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? You will live. You will live. So you see what he's doing in chapter 8? He didn't want to leave us in chapter 7. He didn't want to leave us with that. Chapter 8 is to tell us that this battle is reality. This daily struggle is reality. It's real. There's anything you can do to wish it away. You can't wish it away. You can't become good little people and make it go away.